What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Monday, March 9th. Okay, sorry about that little sound. It's Monday, March 9th, 2020, start of a brand new week. And we have got lots of things to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments, questions, and observations. Boy, what a day it has been, especially on the stock market, down over 2,000 on a couple of occasions. Crude oil prices plunged nearly 25%, 7% down on our market, 9% down on Asian markets. It's just brutal out there. And that together, of course, with the coronavirus and that cruise ship finally docked at Oakland, they're now letting the people off. They're going through testing and decontamination. Then the ship is going to put out to sea again for 2 weeks so the captain and the crew can go through their quarantine. I imagine that'll be a little bit of fun, having the cruise ship all to themselves here. All right, more about that a little bit later in the program. And before we get into this, I have a little bit of an announcement to make. I'm going to be taking just a little bit of vacation time starting tomorrow and extending probably through the end of next week. I'm not exactly sure. The website will be maintained. And if you just keep an eye up at the top of the website, it'll say when I'm coming back to the air. But I've got something I need to be doing. It's got nothing to do with my medical problems, but something I need to do. And I need a little vacation time. I don't remember the last time I took a vacation, and I don't consider being in the hospital as qualifying as vacation time. So we'll be doing that. We're trying to get some guest hosts in, and so it won't all be replays. All righty. Now, Sunday, we're going to have the next Democratic debate, and it's going to be one-on-one between Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden, because the Democratic National Committee, once again, they changed the rules. And they changed the rules to make it impossible for Tulsi Gabbard to make this next debate. So it's going to be a one-on-one. That's going to put a lot of pressure on Biden to get through the debate without one of his famous flubs. And everyone's saying, why is Tulsi still in it? Well, Tulsi's still in it, I think, to make a point that, you know, she's got gumption and staying power. And she may also be angling for a vice presidential tap. Or she's going to have to get in line behind Hillary Clinton, who's just dropping hints all over the place. She wants to be the vice president. And it looks like the strategy there is going to be that she's going to be Biden's vice president. And then Biden, because of his deteriorating mental state, won't make it through his first term in office. He'll be declared non compos mentis. So 25th Amendment him. And voila, Hillary finally gets to be the first woman president of the United States of America. Anyway, Gabbard has called on Biden and Sanders to help her help put her on the debate stage. I don't think that's going to happen. Pardon me. And she's calling on Biden and Sanders to put pressure on the Democratic National Committee to allow her on stage for the next primary debate, which is coming up this coming Sunday. And I have to wonder, did they schedule that debate to guarantee a low viewership? Because it's scheduled right on top of the premiere of season 3 of Westworld. And I don't need to tell you which one I'm going to be watching. Of course, you can always DVR the debates and look at them later. So they're also changing the format of the debate. And Sanders staffers are saying they're trying to protect Biden. You know, it's funny. They're still going with Biden. They're still pushing Biden. And yet everybody knows there's a problem there. He keeps saying very bizarre things. Now, he's had two brain aneurysms. You know, he's passed the medical to serve in office, but that medical did not include a cognitive function test. Now, Bernie Sanders has got a youth vote problem. Young people love Bernie Sanders. They really do. But they're not showing up at the polls. And so for the younger members of our audience, regardless of who you're supporting, you know, you can talk about them, you can say, I support them, but if you don't show up at the polls, it's absolutely meaningless. All right, getting on back to Hillary Clinton. Story coming on out of Sputnik News. Hillary Clinton would love to see someone becoming the first woman vice president. And she's out there arguing that the Democratic presidential nominee should take a really hard look at the Electoral College and plot accordingly in order to win the election and not just the popular vote. She still won't let go of that. Okay. So apparently, he's out there being interviewed on CNN when asked by Fareed Zakariyyeh whether she thought two men in their 70s seeking the Democratic nomination would be essential. It would be essential for a vice presidential candidate to be a woman. So she wants a female vice president. Got somebody in particular in mind there, Ms. Hillary? And I'm not the only one who's saying this. There was another article came out of Sputnik News basically saying, how could Hillary Clinton claw her way to the presidency? And, you know, saying, yes, everybody knows this guy's got, he's got thinking problems. So it'll be Biden and Hillary as his vice presidential candidate. This is a tweet from James Wood. He will eventually gracefully resign as his dementia worsens, and voila, Madam President, at last. We're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. And I'm sorry for the warble in my voice. I'm not sure why that's doing it today. Maybe too much milk or something. Now, Eric Prince is out there recruiting former spies to basically infiltrate liberal organizations. One of them, who is Richard Seddon, who's a former officer in Britain's Secret Intelligence Service, better known as MI6, and he's secretly working for the Trump re-election campaign. Well, by golly, that sounds like outside interference. But apparently, Seddon was recruited by Eric Prince, who's a security contractor aligned to the current U.S. administration. Pence's job was to recruit former American and British spies to service operations run by Project Veritas, a conservative group which uses undercover and underhand methods to target liberal and progressive causes. Well, I don't know that it's necessarily underhanded. It's definitely undercover. It's definitely a candid camera. The people that they catch are really saying these things. It's not deceptively edited. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about coronavirus. Fox News today was just almost all coronavirus news, including following that ship into San Francisco Bay and docking at Oakland here. But coronavirus is now in 34 states, including Indiana and Hawaii. And so people are getting very nervous around here. Our local market is stocked up on face masks and gloves, and they've already sold out of the sanitizers. But the panic buying has even hit this very, very rural region here. Anyway, as far as that ship is concerned, there are 21 people with coronavirus aboard the Grand Princess cruise ship, which is now docked in Oakland. And it's been in limbo since last Wednesday when officials learned a California man who traveled on the same ship last month died of coronavirus. Now, to me, that says that the virus is capable of surviving in the open for that long. You know, unless they identify a member of the crew who's a carrier. So, on Sunday, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said four people from the February Grand Princess voyage have been diagnosed with coronavirus. Anyway, U.S. coronavirus cases surpassed 500 as Italian deaths surge 57%. And according to the architect of our national pandemic strategy, he's saying, this is the most frightening disease I've ever encountered. Iran's coronavirus death toll rises by 21 to reach 145, including the second politician to die from the infection. And Iran is now threatening to use force to stop people traveling between cities while the streets are being disinfected. You know, it often seems that a lot of foreign countries are taking much more stringent steps to combat the coronavirus than we are. Anyway, let's take a phone call from Chris in Minnesota. Aloha, Chris. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
stick with the plan, Mike. You predicted all of this, right?
Well, sort of, kind of, maybe.
I mean, are people really still believing that at this point? What do you think?
Believe in what?
And Q, that it's all a plan, that Trump's playing like 4D chess and that like he's in control, and you know the whole stock market crash is like, how can you even explain that?
Well, we knew that the stock market was hideously overvalued and there had to be a correction someplace. We know that Trump wanted to hold it off until after November's general election. We know the Democrats are just happy as all get out that it's happening now, because Trump really based the majority of his reelection campaign on how healthy the economy is being made to look. But we know the economy isn't healthy. All you have to do is look at how many homeless we have, how many retail vacancies there are in the shopping malls. You know, this country's in serious economic trouble.
I know, but you can't make this like a partisan issue. Like, it's not, you can't just be like, oh, well, it's the Democrats. Oh, no, it's the Republicans. Come on, Mike. They're all in on it.
Of course, they all messed it up. You know, through
administration,
we had short-term decisions. Nobody wanted to address the underlying cause of our economic decline.
I know. Hey, did you see where I saw this? I don't really know too much about it. Trump, he tweeted out something with his fiddle, and it had something to do with like Nero and the fall of Rome and all that.
No, I missed that.
Did you see any of that? Huh? What'd you say?
I said I missed that one.
Oh, okay. No, because I don't know. Do you know anything about Nero and all that? Like, I wasn't sure about it. Because, yeah, I guess he retweeted a picture of him, like, playing a fiddle, and then everybody, like, tore him a new one on Twitter because it was like, you know, they were laughing. They were like, yeah, that's in reference to, like, the fall of Rome. Like, while Rome is burning, you're sitting there just playing a fiddle and stuff like that. Like, he was, like, making a joke about it.
Well, I did miss that. I do know that Nero didn't play the violin because the violin hadn't been invented. He played a lyre.
No, I'm sorry, not the violin, the fiddle, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, but, I just think it's funny. And then, like, you know, you give them bread and circuses and, you know, they'll never revolt. And I feel like the whole political system now, that's all it is just bread and circuses at this point. I mean, and if you can't see that, I mean, I just don't, none of it makes sense, Mike. I mean, it's over with, right? Like, you were always saying, you were like, you know, you're waiting for the Soviet era style collapse. Well, is it here?
It may well be. It may well be. Because if the economy falls apart completely, it will take the central government with it.
I mean, I hope then. I guess that we're going to invest in, you know, ropes and tar and feathers, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Or maybe not. Everybody will just go along with it, and they'll bail all the banks out again, and everybody, because they're so just, like, dumbed down and brainwashed, they'll just go along with it. Like, oh, yeah, because they wanted to keep everything going, I guess, right? And they'll just situation usual, you know? But then
they'll
just be, like, military police on the streets.
You know, the problem is, and it goes way back to that private central banking, which creates the money out of thin air and loans it at interest to the people. Sooner or later, the debt is unsupportable. No matter how hard people work, no matter how much they sacrifice, it has to come crashing down.
No, I agree. And then one more thing. Did you see a little while back where there was like an Israeli firm that held like a drill, like, it was like a stunt or something. They were saying if there wasn't an election, they planned it all out. Like, people weren't going to be able to go to vote, you know, stoplights were going to be shut down. There might be like some outbreak or something like that. So they basically scripted it. Like, do you really think that people are going to go out and vote in November? Like, I don't know. Is there even going to be an election this year, Mike?
Well, it depends on how serious the coronavirus scare gets. I mean, a lot of people are very scared, and of course the media isn't helping. Although today the media is definitely trying to play the calming voice, you know, don't panic, sell your stocks. You know, you can still fly on airplanes, you can still go on cruise ships. You know, let's keep the economy going here, and some of you may die, but that's a sacrifice we're willing to make.
And when they tell you not to panic, that's probably when you should probably pay attention, huh?
That's when you should panic.
Yeah. Right, I don't know. And then one more thing: did anybody ever win the Israeli elections? I know,
well,
it was like the third or fourth one.
This is the third one, and Netanyahu.
Who won?
He got a plurality, and he thought he was going to form a coalition government with Benny Gantz, but it looks like Benny Gantz has found somebody else with which to form a coalition government, which is going to leave Netanyahu and Likud out in the cold. We'll be talking about that.
And then they all went to their voting booths wearing masks, and they had set up Corona sites and all that too, right?
I don't know how much precautions were being taken during the election, because it's only been in the last 2 weeks that coronavirus has really sort of become the thing that it is.
Yeah, and that's the only democracy in the Middle East, right, Mike?
Well, that's what they like to claim.
our greatest ally, right?
Yes, our good friend Israel. And you know, before right? Israel, we didn't have any enemies in the Middle East either.
Oh, I know, right? We got to be over there because they're going to fight us over here. But the only reason that we're over there is because of, you know, and then just like how they treat all the ISIS fighters in their hospitals and stuff like that. But then supposedly Al Qaeda and ISIS attacked us on 9/11. But then they're treating their fighters in their hospitals, and you know, and they talk about, oh, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. But then, what does that make them? Like, come on, it's all a scam, huh, Mike?
Yes, there's a lot of scamming going on, and that's what makes it difficult for ordinary people. We're not sure who to trust or who to believe. And at this point, we fall back on my own advice. Be your own best analyst. Think for yourself.
Yeah. The only person that's going to take care of you at the end is yourself, right?
That's exactly right.
You know? And then maybe I'll say this, and I'll let you go. One more thing. Maybe because a lot of people were waking up to everything that was going on. You know, I know you don't want to talk, but like, you know, the Jewish question and stuff like that. And just like what I said a second ago about how like they're treating Al-Qaeda and they're funding them, arming them and giving them weapons. I feel like a lot of people were waking up to that. And this is the virus is another way just to crack down, just to shut everything down, like more censorship, everything. So I guess it's going to play its part different ways. Right. But I don't know. I guess we'll see here.
You know, pushing the cashless society. The World Health Organization came out and said, don't use money. Don't use money. Viruses and germs live on money, which is silly.
Yeah,
germs.
They're burning all the paper dollar notes and everything because it might have the virus on it. Yeah.
There actually is a bactericide inside the paper for the U.S. banknote. I hope I'm not giving away a Treasury Department secret here, but there is a bacteriostatic chemical to limit the money-carrying germs. Whether it'll work on a virus or not, I do not know.
Well, I got like 2 or 3 years worth of like storable popcorn stored up, ready, you know, to just kick my feet up and watch the show, you know, just watch it all come crumbling down. So I'm good to go.
Lots of good nutrition there in that popcorn. That'll keep you alive.
And a bunch of whiskey. I got whiskey too, so that'll help.
Well, I'm hanging out in your place then.
All right, Mike, have a good show, man. I'll talk to you.
All right, thanks an awful lot here. All right, we're talking about the coronavirus, talking about COVID-19. It's pretty much shut down Silicon Valley. Apple has told all of its 12,000 staff at Cupertino to work from home with immediate effect. This follows Facebook and Microsoft doing exactly the same thing. Google is telling their employees in Washington State to work remotely. Remember, most of the U.S. deaths have happened in Washington State. They're still not exactly sure why, except for that one cluster at that nursing home. Okay, Palestinian Authority leader Mohammed Abbas has declared a month-long state of emergency in the West Bank after 7 cases of coronavirus were diagnosed in the Bethlehem area. Apparently, let's see, new calls for social distancing. I'm watching the Fox News feed here. You know, they're still out there saying, well, you know, coronavirus isn't that bad. I mean, 37,000 people died of the flu, you know, over the last 12 months. Okay, I have a question. Let's talk about the last 3 to 4 months and how many of those deaths attributed to flu were actually the coronavirus before people became aware it was out there. Because the symptoms are remarkably similar. You know, and scientists are saying, well, coronavirus isn't the flu, but it presents as the flu. Somebody comes on in, they're displaying symptoms that look like the flu, and then they die. What do you write on the death? We got to take a break for commercial. Right back after these moments.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And a reminder that Republic Broadcasting Network is in the middle of a fundraiser, and Republic definitely needs your help. So the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity, cash, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. The network thanks you. Okay, getting on back to the coronavirus, British supermarkets are now starting to ration food as customers strip the shelves in the coronavirus panic. And like I said, it's even hit here in Santa Claus, Indiana. They're completely out of sanitizer. Of course, you can make your own. All it takes is, you know, 90% alcohol and aloe, and plus whatever essential oils you want to give it an aroma. Anyway, all right, let's take another phone call. Mark in Montana. Aloha, Mark. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I've got to talk about the oil and gas. I'm right in the heart of it here in Midland, Odessa, Texas, which is the heart of the Permian Basin, and the oil closed at 41 on give or take on Friday, and it's down to 30 and some change this morning.
Well, was that wow! Time,
I guess. I'm talking bloodbath, man. All the companies are already just dumping people left and right. I went into I'm about 5 miles out of town. I went into town for a little bit, pick up some donuts this morning, and talked to a lot of people. I talk a lot, and most of them are just, they're saying, look, we've already got layoffs. My company here that I'm with, they've already laid some people off last night, in the middle of the night. I'm a newcomer, and I didn't get laid off, so I guess I'm feeling fortunate, but I also don't have work today, so I don't know what's going on. It's scary, man.
Right.
A lot of these people rely on.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, these are good paying, middle class, blue collar jobs, you know. Almost everybody out here makes six figures, and everything out here is relying on it. And most of these folks are like me. I live in Montana, and I come down here for work, and I take my salary home with me to that small town I live in. I dump a lot of money into the economy up there, and there's most of these folks here are like that. They're, you know, they're from small towns all over the Midwest, and you know, they take a lot of money home and dump it into these small communities.
Well, it's a very scary time, and unfortunately, it looks as long as Russia and Saudi Arabia maintain this oil war, it's probably going to get even worse.
You know, I'm not sure how low they can go with it. There's a point where you can't sell it for less than the lift costs are.
Yes.
Now, I understand Saudi Arabia and Russia have a lot lower lift costs than, say, West Texas or North Dakota, because our labor is expensive and our permits and our government regulation, that adds a lot of money to the cost of the barrel of oil. They don't have a lot of that over there. Plus, some of those places, they use virtually slave labor. They pay them, you know, a few cents a day. But I'm scared, man. I've got a job as of now, but I'm scared.
Well, I hope you get to keep your job, obviously. And you're absolutely right. If it takes a barrel's worth of energy to get a barrel of oil to the surface, the party is over.
Well, yeah, it's not quite like that, but if it's taken less than a barrel, I mean, if they're selling it at $30 a barrel, that's below lift costs out here. I think some of the exploration will continue. They'll punch the holes. Well, stuff is cheap because they'll be able to get the the rigs for a lot cheaper day rate, and I think if they get those rigs for a cheaper day rate, they'll punch the holes, they'll cap everything off, they'll get it ready for the time when the oil goes back up to 55 or 60.
Well, who's really going to take the hit is the shale oil, because as I understand it, their lift cost is a lot higher than the conventional oil wells.
Well, about 99% of the oil now in the United States is shale oil. It costs a little bit more because of the fracturing procedures that they do.
Yeah.
You know, but that fracturing also increases the output by 30%. So it would be insane to not fracture a well and take, you know, that 30% hit on it. That's why in places like New York State, they're no longer drilling up there, because New York has made fracturing illegal. So there's no oil drilling or gas drilling up there anymore. And it's not as evil as everybody makes it out to be. All it is if you imagine shale oil as a big sandwich with lots of layers, with lettuce and tomato and onions and all that, all you're doing is you're drilling a hole down, then you do your directional until, you know, in the zone that you want, let's say the tomato zone, and then you punch down there, you punch either an acidizer or an alkali, and it breaks that shale up, and then you pump sand down in it, and the sand keeps the shale layers open so that the oil can flow out. It's not as evil as people make it out to be. Sometimes they just use a baking soda solution, you know, depending on what they have. I hear the music, so I'll let you go. Thank you.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We'll be back after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And we've had a lot of callers into the show talking about how airline flights are still coming in from places like Italy, South Korea, Japan. And they're concerned about, you know, what's really going on. Well, as it turns out, according to Business Insider, airlines are burning thousands of gallons of fuel flying empty planes so they can keep their flight slots during the outbreak. And apparently there are European rules saying that airline operators can lose their flight slots if they keep the planes on the ground. So these flight crews are just basically taking empty aircraft and flying them back and forth to keep the routes open. So it may not be that these planes are really bringing in lots and lots and lots of people here. The White House is getting ready to implement their plan for the outbreak, talking about doing more things virtually or online, having meetings on conference calls. And so they're preparing emergency measures to allow staff to work from home and avoid a government shutdown. Okay, now this next one really kind of annoyed me, and I think it's probably going to annoy you as well. The CNBC editor, Rick Santelli, basically went out and said the world would be better off if everyone was given coronavirus to, quote, get it over, end quote, and stop wreaking havoc on the financial markets. Still out there trying to blame our economic problems on the coronavirus. And we know the market was already in trouble. We know our economy's in trouble. We know that the reason for the massive downturn today, the Dow closed at 2013.76. had to do more with the oil shock than coronavirus, but they're still out there pushing it. But this guy just basically came on out and said, just make everybody sick, get it over with, and let's get back to making money on the stock market. Now, he has since retracted that comment and apologized for it, but it basically shows you the mindset of the banking class. As I mentioned to one of our callers earlier, the World Health Organization officials are warning coronavirus can spread through handling money. They're urging people to use credit cards or electronic payments instead. Well, electronic payments are certainly not going to pass the virus along here. The plastic, well, that depends, because in some cases you may have to hand it off to, for example, a server at a restaurant, in which case it's going to be just as contagious as paper money, except that you're going to get it back as well. So I'm not sure it's an automatic panacea, but it does look like they're trying to use this crisis to push for the cashless society. And as I mentioned before, there is a bacteriostatic chemical in the paper that our banknotes are made from. As far as the coinage is concerned, that's another matter entirely, and maybe it might be worthwhile, you know, spraying that with alcohol. Or take it into the bank, run it through their change machine. Okay, the American Conservative Union has confirmed that an attendee to the 2020 CPAC tested positive for the novel coronavirus. Actually, I think that number is now up to 2. And apparently, there's a concern because the CPAC speakers included President Trump, Vice President Pence, and Secretary of State Pompeo. Now, two politicians who met the guy who tested positive are now in self-quarantine. One of them is Ted Cruz. So they're in self-quarantine. Both of them say they feel fine. They're not showing symptoms, but they are going to stay home and stay isolated for 2 weeks. All right, let's talk about the international news now. Okay, the new ceasefire around Idlib is already crumbling. And apparently on the 6th of this month, the Syrian region of Greater Idlib entered another ceasefire phase with al-Qaeda-linked groups breathing a sigh of relief thanks to Turkish sacrifices in the battle against the Syrian army. However, the pause just reduced the tensions rather than put an end to them. A few minutes after the start of the ceasefire agreed to by Russian and Turkish presidents, an intense fighting erupted between Hayat Tahrir al-Sham and pro-government forces. Okay, now here's an interesting little story. This one came out of VeteransToday.com. Communications intercepts and intelligence from inside Turkey, Turkish-backed terror groups, tell an interesting story. Apparently, American special forces have been deployed there for the last 2 days. Loads of cash, promises of U.S. passports, and families resettled in the U.S. And apparently, the U.S. forces are to set up ambushes and suicide bombings against Turkish outposts in Idlib to bring about an end to the truce negotiated in Moscow between Erdogan and Trump on March 5th. So, anyway. Now, here's a bizarre statement. This came out of the United States. It's from Middle East Monitor. And basically, the United States is saying that Turkey has a full right to defend itself in Syria. That's like saying the Nazis had a right to defend themselves in France. Turkey has invaded the sovereign territory of Syria, up by Idlib. They're an invading force. Technically, it's an act of war. Nobody's declared war, but that could happen at any moment. But no, as a matter of fact, Turkey does not have a right to do anything in Syria other than to turn around and go home. Everything they do is a crime, because war is the greatest crime of it all, because it wraps up all the other crimes inside itself: murder, theft, dispossession of families, rape occasionally. What am I saying? Occasionally, a lot of that. So Mike Pompeo over at the State Department was saying, quote, "We believe firmly that our NATO partner Turkey has the full right to defend itself against the risk that's being created by what Assad, the Russians, and the Iranians are doing inside of Syria." Well, if Turkey doesn't want to handle the risk, go home. we should do exactly the same thing. Now, it looks like Erdogan's offensive has stalled, if not outright failed. And now he's calling for an immediate ceasefire along the existing lines. There's the little rub. He basically wants to hang on to that little bit of Syria that he's already conquered. I don't think Syria is going to go for that. Throughout February, Erdogan demanded the Syrian army stopped its Idlib advances against Al-Qaeda-held Idlib and falls back to the starting lines. Throughout February, he threatened that if the Syrians did not do this, his military would make them. Well, that didn't work out all that well. A lot of people got killed. A lot of tanks got destroyed. And so now he's saying ceasefire on existing lines, and I don't think Syria will go for that. Syria wants their original borders back. And I love the way this headline phrases it. This has come from southfront.org. Turkish forces are on tactical retreat, which is a polite way of saying they're running like heck. Syrian army recaptures more territory in eastern and southern Idlib. Oh, my goodness. Erdogan's forces are not doing very well. It's a bloody mess over there. Emphasis on the bloody here. Okay, apparently there was an attempt at a chemical attack in Idlib. A 15-member terrorist group tried to explode ammunition containing chemical substances in the vicinity of Sarakib in the Idlib countryside. Syria News wrote, the possibility of another chemical hoax continues to loom. Over in Saudi Arabia, a little bit of palace intrigue, Game of Thrones or Game of Turbans, whatever. Mohammed bin Salman is widening his purge. Dozens of royals and army officers are swept up after powerful princes arrested. And it's looking a lot like the infamous Ritz-Carlton Riyadh shakedown of 2017. There was a raid Friday morning on the homes of King Salman's brother, Prince Ahmed bin Abdulaziz Al Saud, and Prince Mohammed bin Nayef bin Abdulaziz, printed lips, in Saud. Now, I believe that Ahmed bin Abdulaziz Al Saud was the original crown prince. All right, we're going to take a phone call from Joe in Tennessee. Aloha, Joe. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. You know, they're talking about Trump letting the FISA court law, you know, expire and not non-renewing it. It's just kind of funny because we've all known about FISA court corruption for over 2 years. And now that it looks like the Republicans and the Trump might not renew it, all of a sudden, the FISA court judges are saying, oh, we're not going to let the FBI people involved in the FISA abuses represent anybody or come before the court. You know, they waited 2 years before the FISA court showed any kind of outrage or any wanted to do any kind of a correction. You know, but now that it looks like they're not going to get renewed and they want to get renewed so they can keep their phony baloney government jobs and subvert the Constitution against any of their political rivals. Of course, now, like 2 weeks before it expires, all of a sudden they're getting real brave, you know. These judges, including Supreme Court Roberts, you know, all of a sudden, oh boy, they have integrity, and they're worried about the integrity of their court, you know, because the money might get cut off. Well, all I can say to Trump and his advisors is get your heads examined if you renew the FISA court. You know, punish them. Make an example. The FISA court, bury it. Never again in the history of the world should there be a FISA court. And the reason is because of those corrupt bastard judges. Let it fall on them. They can sit there and talk about the FBI. Well, the FBI, they're always going to try to schnagle past judges and get what they want. But those corrupt, vile judges that sit on that FISA court, they should be ashamed of themselves. And the FISA court needs to be basically burned to the ground and never used ever again. And when they ask in the history books why, just list the names of those judges. This is why there's no FISA court, because of this corrupt whatever his name is, son of a bitch. And it's because of this corrupt judge, federal judge, son of a bitch, and this Supreme Court Justice Roberts, who's supposed to oversee the FISA court, he should have to be, you know, personally, he should resign in disgrace because of what they did. They weaponized the court system against a political rival, and now, because they might not get renewed, all of a sudden they wanted to, oh, we don't want the FBI that were involved in that to ever testify before our courts again. Isn't that really big of them? You know, isn't that really something? They really are such disgraces, and it's such transparent disgraces. They should have, you know, it's almost better if they just would have shut their mouths and try to reach out like this. It's the pathetic little losers that they are. I swear they should. It's amazing to me that they're even allowed to sit on the bench after what they've done. What they've done, you know, it's kind of like Comey and Rosenstein. The way they've disgraced their institutions. Now, the FBI has always been a disgraceful institution, as far as I'm concerned, with Waco and JFK, Vince Foster, you know, 9/11, Oklahoma City. We can go on and on about, you know, how corrupt they are. But really, they really, really disgraced it. Even as much as it was disgraceful, they really went over the top disgracing it. And I just hope that more of this stuff comes out so that it breaks through the mainstream media's embargo on the corruption of the FBI. And personally, you know, I look at what's going on here with this coronavirus and the destruction of the economy because of it, and I must say I have to put some of the blame on Trump, and I'm not blaming Trump because of his response to the virus. I'm blaming Trump because he never attacked these. He's still letting Barr sit on all these deep state criminals. And as, you know, they all should have been perped walk and been arrested months ago. And nothing's happening. And these people, these coup plotters, these deep state people, are just turning the screws and destroying the economy with this coronavirus, if you ask me. And, you know, Trump, it almost serves them right. And you know, if you allow, you know, people that scheme against you and your country to just get away with it without any kind of retribution, or if they're gonna cook up something even worse, you know, and that might be what they've done. And I, like I said, I'm really, you know, I heard people blame Trump on this, and I'm not blaming them completely, but I have to say that in my mind, the fact that he's allowed these, you know, unconstitutional government agents to do what they've done is just empowered them. And there's no, you know, if he's going to let them just get away with attempting a coup against elected president with no repercussions, then why not a bioweapon, you know? You know, start a little bioweapon, get everybody panicked and destroy the economy. You know, and then that'll get rid of him as president, right? So
yeah.
I got to say, you know, I just get so angry because I've been on the horn calling and trying to get, calling even the president, saying, when are you going to arrest these people? You know, they asked me for money. I'm like, no indictments, no money. You know, what's he waiting for? You know, so they can stir up another bioweapon, you know, something else? You know, it just amazes me. And that, you know, so it's kind of very disappointing. And you mentioned Tulsi earlier, and I think that Tulsi just kind of shows the hypocrisy of the establishment and the whole feminist thing, you know? I mean, if it was any other woman but Tulsi that they were keeping out of the debates, they'd be, you know, burning their bras in front of the Supreme Court or wherever, protesting this. And what the DNC did, you know, they keep changing the rules to keep her out of the debates. You know, you'd have every woman on talking head on the networks talking about sexism and misogyny and patriarchy. But since it's Tulsi and she's not like an establishment woman, then, you know, it's okay to do that to her. And it's the same way with conservative women. It's okay. You know, the whole feminist thing and the misogyny labels, it's only used to for liberal causes. It only empowers the left and the establishment deep state people. It's the same way with racism. You know, these things about blacks and all that. As long as they're like on the plantation blacks and they're lefty blacks, well, they can, you know, they're going to be in their corner all the way. But you get a guy like Clarence Thomas, and oh, they forget all about him being black real quick. So it's you know, once again, I love seeing the hypocrisy of our ruling class. is highlighted for everybody to see, because that's important for them to lose any credibility. So hopefully they become like the king in, you know, the emperor's new clothes. I think that's becoming more and more the way it is with our establishment. But once again, Trump, you know, I think Trump should have, I've said for a couple of years now he should declare martial law because of the deep state coup against him. And I think he should declare martial law as a medical martial law right now. Why not? I mean, you have a bureaucracy that's got its, you know, so corrupt and so criminal against him. You know, they tried to impeach him. They keep cooking up all these fake, you know, whatever you want to call it, crimes that they say he committed, and they're the ones that are committing the crimes. I think that, you know, be bold. Just declare a medical martial law, cancel the elections. Why not? A Democrat would do it.
All right, well, listen, Joe, I got to let you go.
All right, thank you.
We got to take another break for commercials, and we will be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened? What really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Now, Turkey is forcibly transporting migrants to the Greek border and pushing them across. You know, this is more than simply opening the border and luring the migrants there. They're literally putting them on buses, forcibly transporting them there and pushing them across. And apparently, at one point, Turkey used a large tracked vehicle and a cable to literally tear down part of that border fence so that the migrants could get across here. The Turkish and Greek forces have been trading tear gas with each other. This is getting very serious. This could easily turn into open conflict. Now, Turkey has sent 1,000 special forces to the EU border to prevent the migrant return. Erdogan is out there simply saying, look, just let them through. They won't stay there in Greece. They're going to go on to those really nice countries up there in Europe. But what he doesn't seem to comprehend is that the Turkish border is also the border of the EU as a whole. And that's why so many other countries in the EU are getting involved in this. Now, apparently, Erdogan is in serious political trouble at home and outside Turkey. And it looks like he may be coming to an end here. His offensive in Idlib has bogged down. And a day before he's scheduled to meet with Russian President Putin, the Turkish parliament degrades quickly as opposition speaks out against his Syria campaign. That prompted the fist fight that we all saw last week. Okay, apparently, U.S. personnel are to be investigated for war crimes in Afghanistan. Last Thursday, the International Criminal Court appeals judges authorized an investigation into allegations of war crimes by U.S. military and intelligence personnel, Afghan forces, and the Taliban in Afghanistan in a case that has triggered a diplomatic backlash from Washington. Basically, they're saying, how dare you? How dare you investigate us for war crimes? You can't do that. So the ICC has authorized the investigation, and Pompeo is out there blasting the renegade and reckless ICC. And he said, this is a direct quote, this is a truly breathtaking action by an unaccountable political institution masquerading as a legal body. It is all the more reckless for this ruling to come just days after the United States signed a historic peace deal on Afghanistan, the best chance for peace in a generation. Which has already unraveled, I might add here. Last week, we were talking about the number of suicides in the military. And according to this article that came out of Press TV, there's a spike in suicides amongst veterans of British military campaigns in Afghanistan. And apparently, they're killing themselves in record numbers. What is it they've seen? What is it they were forced to do? According to the Times newspaper, some 14 former and serving Army personnel have killed themselves in the past 2 months alone. Oh, anyway. Apparently, Great Britain, not content with mucking about in Afghanistan, is now planning to go into Mali. Okay, we have to take a quick patient identification. Join us on the air, 800-312-9443, and we will be right back.
Reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad,
Works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.